Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Keith, you ready for a road game?
Oh, I'm ready for a road game. You better believe it.
Let me tell you, we'll get to Robert Kraft. We'll get to the Bruins coming up as well. But Keith, you got to be, feeling like you're missing out on a variety of levels here. If you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, Rich Keith from the Dork Podcast Lair there. Is that what's going on?
Dragon's Lair. Yep, it's Dragon's Lair Day.
I'm sorry.
Of all days, I heard you guys have like 50 personal pan pizzas in there today.
They're bar insane pizzas from the Trading Post in Bourne. I have not dipped in yet, but you should, Keith. You heard about the pizzas yesterday,
yeah,
and how they went quickly. These are in this studio, so they're going to be a little more protected. But there are
they'll be gone.
There are ample amounts of pizza here, and I will be just sticking my face in a pizza box in the next break. Yeah.
I did appreciate before Courtney left, she made sure to flaunt the pizza in front of the Zoom camera. So I'm like,
That's very good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, yep. Don't Bing flaunt the pizza on a work computer there. But yes,
that is exactly what you think it is.
That is what she did to Keith before leaving for the day. Keith, not only that, and I don't really want to emphasize how down bad you are, but I thought you were going to hit on your parlay last night too, and that missed.
Oh. Devastating. So for those who missed it, I don't know how you could have, but the parlay, very simple. I thought, you know, we both expected a big bounce for the Bruins after the Montgomery firing and taking on a bad Utah club. So it was a three-leg parlay. Bruins on the puck line, so they had to win by two.
Yeah, two goals.
And then it was a Pastrnak goal and a Marchand assist. So pretty quick into the game, you get the Marchand dime, right? Boom, apple for Marchand. I'm like, all right, check that off. They're up 1-0. But Jones, they're dominating the play. They are controlling the play. They have a lot of shots on net. I'm like, it's really only a matter of time until Pasta scores. He doesn't. Fast forward to the end of the game. Still 1-0 Bruins. Utah pulls the goalie. Classic, pulling the goalie. And Pastrnak scores. I'm like, holy smokes, we got it. They hang on 2-0, get the goal, get the assist. Boom, I'm counting my hams. Turns out, high stick. They look at it. No goal.
So
they win 1-0.
I bet. I didn't realize they gave Marchand an assist. I don't know how he got one. But
I think he hit him in the shoe or
something. Yeah, I didn't realize they gave Marchand an assist on the Lindholm goal, and I didn't realize what was at stake until this morning when I saw you missed out on the parlay.
Well, it bounced off of Marchand's like foot or something, and then Lindholm cleaned it up. So like in hockey, it's like if you're near the puck, they usually give you an assist.
Yeah, they'll throw you an assist for anything. No, that's for sure.
That was devastating.
So Keith down bad today, probably not as bad as Robert Kraft.
No.
We'll get to all of that here on a Patriots Friday on Jones and Keith. A lot of ways you can interact with the show. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number. You can text us at 37937 on Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can chat there, too. Always a nice, healthy chat going on. And on YouTube, you can watch. Just subscribe to WEEI. We will get further into the Bruins. They win in the first game with Joe Sacco. A lot of the passengers on the Bruins woke up last night. They played pretty well in front of Corpus Allo, who got some help from the post around him last night. We'll get to the Bees coming up. Maybe some Red Sox thoughts later on in the show. And, of course, all of our Friday staples. Keys, Will come your way at 1 o'clock sharp. How's that gonna? How are the keys gonna rattle remotely? How are those gonna? So can you give us a preview?
Oh, great!
Or are they stuck here?
No, I got them on ice. Okay. I like to keep them nice and cold. But no. I brought them. I got them.
You got them.
They'll be here. Oh, you better believe it.
That's a man who's prepared. Uh-huh. We'll get to our Friday four-pack coming up a little over an hour from now, plus our Patriots Friday guest. I'm curious to talk to DeMarcus Covington today.
Yes.
Why didn't you let Alex Van Pelt know that Marcus Jones played on offense, huh? Like, where was that over the last couple of months? So we'll do that here today on the show. Player TBD.
Mm-hmm.
Always very promising.
Nice.
On a Patriots Friday. But let's start with Robert Kraft. You heard him right off the top, Keith. You sent this late last night. I hadn't seen it yet. Kraft snubbed, some may say, kept out of the Hall of Fame yet again for an individual I was not familiar with, Ralph Hay.
Yeah, Ralph Hay's in.
From the teens, the 20s. He was arguably, I'm not sure I would argue it, but arguably the founder of the NFL. He owned the defunct Canton Bulldogs for 4 years. That's not Canton, Mass. No Karen Reed references here. But from 1918 to 1922, he owned the Canton Bulldogs. He famously didn't want to pay players. So as I joked, at least he and Kraft have something in common.
Yep.
But he has a chance to go to the Hall of Fame. Robert Kraft will not be going. He's had 13 opportunities. He's 0 for 13. Your thoughts?
It's amazing. It really is. Ralph Hay, who owned a team for 4 years and didn't want to pay the players.
Shout out Jim Bowden for the Ralph reference there. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
No, it's incredible. Because I know there was a big groundswell for Ralph Hay. And people were like, hey, Ralph Hay needs to get in.
Yeah.
You saw the documentary. You read the book. There was a lot of push for Ralph Hay to get in. And people paid attention to it. And they said, all right, you're in. No, I think we talked about this when the Dynasty came out. We've talked about this off and on with different, like, Robert Kraft reports and stories that have been written about him. I don't think owners should be in the Hall of Fame, but owners are in the Hall of Fame, and therefore he should be one of the owners that is in. Six Super Bowls. I mean, Jerry Jones is in, right? So it's very obvious that he should be in. However, him wanting it so badly has clearly rubbed a lot of people, the voters, the wrong way. You know, was it Wickersham or one of those guys that had the article about, you know, some of the voters would get sent the Dynasty book
It was Don Van Natta. He wrote another piece last night. It was Don Van Natta from ESPN, yeah.
So they would say, like, hey, did you read the Dynasty? They're like, yeah, we got the Dynasty. Then they'd send it to him again. And then most of them sniffed out that the documentary series was also just a big push for Robert Kraft. And so I think him wanting it as badly as he does is keeping him out more so than what happened down in Florida. I'm sure that's a small account. I think that, you know, the massage stuff down there might have impacted the next year or the year after, but I feel like we're far enough removed. And in the grand scheme of things, not that big a deal. So I don't think that's what's keeping him out. But it's amazing. It's like they have like a grudge against him. And the other layer to this, Jones, now is I don't think he's all that sympathetic to Patriots fans. Like, the one group that should want him in and should care about it are still pissed about Belichick or still pissed about Brady. So if you polled every Patriots fan and you let them vote, I bet he gets in, but barely. I bet only because you're like, yeah, of course he should be in the Hall of Fame, but
so
I don't think anybody's upset about it.
I'd push back on that. Well, so that last line I agree with. I'd push back on people. I think a majority of Patriots fans think he deserves to be in. I think he deserves to be in.
Yeah, same.
But I'm not outraged that he's not in today. Like, it's ridiculous. Ralph Hay, who, like, reading through that Don Van Natta story, like, some of the comments in there, quote, it's a huge surprise, said one source who insisted on anonymity. It's very disappointing. Unless you're an NFL historian, you don't know who Ralph Hay is. You have no idea who this person is. And they're going into the Hall of Fame. It's been a century since they did anything for the game of football. There's been a lot of time to vote in Ralph Hay. So that's ridiculous, and it's funny, I guess, on some level.
It's kind of funny. Ralph Hay died 76 years ago. Died 76 years ago.
I don't mean to laugh, but it's too soon to laugh, you think, Keith? Is that what you think it is?
I think today's the day we can. I think he finally got the recognition he deserves. Yeah. But it's like he could have been in the first Hall of Fame class.
Okay, Paul Brown.
What was the first class? He could have been in that if he wanted it so bad.
The 70s, I think. Paul Brown shouted him when Paul Brown went into the Hall of Fame. Paul Brown, when he went into the Hall of Fame, he shouted out Ralph Hay. Then he was like, oh, hey, big respect to Ralph Hay and everything he did for the game. So, like, it's funny that Ralph Hay from the 20s, a guy who didn't want to pay, he was against paying players in the NFL.
Play for free. Play for free.
He is in the Hall of Fame and Robert Kraft isn't. I think a majority of Patriots fans, and you tell me if I'm wrong, 617-779-7937. I think a majority think he should get in and eventually will get in, but I don't think they're shedding tears that today isn't the day, because I agree with you. I think a lot of them are still upset with Kraft. They're upset with the dynasty. They're upset with the way he handled Bill Belichick. And so I don't think they're shedding tears today, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I think you're right. I think a lot of people, and this is a weird case where I think a lot of people might actually agree with us that he deserves to be in, but you're not kicking and screaming about it. And if things had ended differently, let's say, you know, Brady stuck around for another year, then retired as a Patriot. And then Bill Belichick stuck around for another year. You know, they don't win the Super Bowl or anything, but they're decent. Maybe even like after the 21 season, Bill just says, I'm going to retire. And like, thanks for everything. You throw both guys a big parade. You're like, Tom Brady, lifetime Patriot. Bill Belichick retired on top. And there's no like ripping the guy on the way out or anything. I think on a day like today, Patriots fans are pissed and they're like, what the hell? And now it's like, whatever. Like, this guy is screwed. Like, how Patriots fans feel about him today versus 5 years ago is so different.
Oh, for sure.
It's like not even close. Like, he should have been in then. You don't have to wait. This isn't a player coach situation where you have to be retired for 5 years. Jerry Jones has been in for years. So Robert Kraft probably should have gotten in and 2018, 2006, like once they started to like get that like a second run of the dynasty and win more Super Bowls, like he was separated. Or even when he helped stop the work stoppage,
yeah,
he probably should have gotten in for that. Like the impact on the game, like he should have gotten in for that. But the longer we go away from it, it's like I don't know if he's ever going to get in.
Yeah, so I think a lot of fans, his approval rating is taking a nosedive with, yeah, Patriots fans. I agree with that. Do you think this is a larger story about the Patriots and their dynasty, or is this just a Kraft story? Like, in other words, like, Bill's not going to have to wait a year. Brady's obviously not going to have to wait a year. Are they holding it against the dynasty in any way, or is this just about Kraft?
I think it's a Kraft soul issue. It took Ty Law and Richard Seymour a couple years to get in, which I thought was stupid. I thought those guys were first ballot, but whatever. They're in now. Like, you know, you'll look back and just say they're in the Hall of Fame. Adam Vinatieri, even though I know he played for the Colts more than the Patriots, is on the ballot this year. He should get in. Rodney Harrison, we'll see. He's been a weird test study all along. And same with Vince Wilfork. I don't even know if he's like a Hall of Famer necessarily, but I think it's more to do with Kraft. I think they've recognized a couple of guys from the dynasty, and obviously Brady and Bill are going to get in immediately. Hell, Bill might even get in sooner. Aren't they waiving the coach?
Yeah, I think Bill, if he's not coaching next year, I think one like a year after you're retired, I think you technically could get in. So yeah, if Bill doesn't get a job this year, I think he could go in. Yes.
In a weird way, too, I feel like both Spygate and Deflategate, even though clearly a coach quarterback thing and not an owner thing, it seems like the owner is being held accountable by like the voters more so than those guys.
Well, but and that I get too. Like, I think the scandals, like Orchids of Asia, maybe that delayed when Kraft was going to go in a few years ago. Maybe it delayed that because it was like too hot of a topic. But now I really don't think it gets referenced all that much. Like, it gets brought up in these discussions here and there, I guess, but it doesn't get brought up that much. It's not front of mind. No. Like Deflategate and Spygate get brought up. I think those stick to Robert because his relationship with Goodell and his, you know, influence within the league. And I think that's what rubbed other owners the wrong way. And I think that's their issue with those scandals. And that's Robert's, what's held against him in that situation. He wasn't asking to deflate footballs. He wasn't asking to record other teams' sidelines. He wasn't asking to do that. But when the scandals popped up, he was the one who was attempting to make them go away. And his influence within the league, I think a lot of other owners resent. And I don't think other owners felt they would have gotten the same treatment. So I think it's some of that. But I think you hit the nail on the head earlier, Keith. It's mostly about how thirsty he is and how badly he wants it. And the press pressure campaign that they ran with Stacey James, their media relations director, who it says distinctly in this story was not part of this campaign.
Got it.
Which, thanks, Stacey, for telling Don Van Natta you weren't a part of this campaign. But, okay, like, you wanted it too badly. It was a turnoff for people who were voting. Is that fair? No, but it's reality. Anybody who wants something too bad and they're too annoying about it in your personal life, and just ask yourself, someone wants this over and over and over again. They won't shut up about it. They're in your face about it. They're constantly reminding you about it. Nagging, nagging, nagging. Aren't you going to be a little annoyed by that and hold it against them at some point? It's not fair, but that's what's going on here. I think that's his biggest hurdle and the biggest reason he is out of the Hall of Fame.
So I got some advice for him. This is free advice.
Yeah,
he can use this, and this is an automatic way to get in. You hold a press conference.
Okay.
You say, hey, look, it didn't happen this year, and I've had a change of heart. I don't even want to be in. In fact, I want to be removed from consideration.
I like it.
I don't want to even be a semifinalist next year. Don't waste your time or mine. It's not important to me anymore. I don't care. I got to focus on turning this team around. Please find another Ralph Hay next year and go on from there. I don't care about it. And then you walk off and you're like, hopefully that works.
Yeah,
please,
yeah.
Hopefully that works. Maybe. And now they're going to piss me off. They're going to put me in the Hall of Fame. That's what you got to do. You got to play mind games with them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's I don't even want to be around anymore. The Hall of Fame version,
yeah.
You know, that he
too
can bring
much
up.
On me. I can't breathe.
37937. One text here. Keyspiracy theory. You ready for this?
Yes, of course I am.
Belichick, a noted football historian, is behind Hay's induction. Talk amongst yourselves. Like, this is Bill talking up Ralph Hay, who wasn't even a finalist in 2020 the last time he was. He wasn't even a finalist. There were three finalists. He wasn't even a finalist. Now he's the nominee. Bill was pushing for someone like Ralph Hay and campaigning for Ralph Hay to get back at Robert Kraft. I don't rule that out one bit. Not even one bit do I rule that out.
This guy wasn't alive for the first Super Bowl, and he's in the Hall of Fame?
Like, again, I don't mean to laugh. Too soon. I don't mean to laugh.
I don't mean he wasn't born. Yeah. I mean, he was long dead before the first Super Bowl, and now it's like, let's get him in. Guys, now that we've had a chance to really look over the resume of Ralph Hay.
Do you think Bill's behind it?
Sure. I don't rule it out completely.
I don't either. Like, Bill made a big push for, oh, you guys know that Ralph Hay was really the father of football. How's he not in the Hall of Fame? And meanwhile, it's just an agenda against Kraft. I don't rule that out one bit.
To Ralph Hay's credit, they, in 1919, were champions of the Ohio League.
Good.
So.
Well, no, I think he was a brilliant visionary for the league. He said, you know where football's going to take off? Canton, Ohio. You know where we need to stick a team?
It's a good spot.
Canton, Ohio. And by the way, let's not pay the players. Like, obviously, the guy was way ahead of the curve and way ahead of his time and really had a good pulse on where the direction of football was going. Canton, Ohio. Not, forget about your Dallas, Texas.
No,
forget about your Miami, Florida.
Not bad.
No. Canton, Ohio. That's the cradle of football.
I bet all the owners do look up to him, though. They're like, imagine if we didn't have to pay these players. Like,
it's most of our overhead. He was ahead of his time. What a visionary.